risers. How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us, whether it's here in person or online. Really glad you're with us. If you happen to be here for the very first time, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. What I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible is an Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. So open up your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 to 11. Ecclesiastes 1. If you have the actual Bible and you're not sure where the book of Ecclesiastes is, right in the middle of your Bible is Psalms and Proverbs. Hang a right. One book to the right is the book of Ecclesiastes. And let's all say, congratulations to those who were water baptized a moment ago. Yay! That is such an important step in your spiritual life. You know, we're limiting these because of COVID and all that, so we only had about 10 a service, and so many people wanted to be water baptized. We're going to do this again in 4 weeks. In 4 weeks, the weekend of November 7th and 8th, we're going to do it again. And if you haven't been water baptized, there's a couple of spots still open on that weekend, so make sure you watch our baptism class online, VineyardNorthPhoenix.com, and sign up for the water baptism, and hopefully in 4 weeks we'll be celebrating you as well, okay? Now, before we get into the message, though, I want to just take a moment and mention the offering. There are lots and lots of ways that you and I can give back financially to God through our church. And when we do, it really, really, really matters, because our mission statement is to transform ordinary people like you and like me into extraordinary followers of Christ. And we just saw, you know, a little image of that in our water baptisms, of people making that first step in heading toward becoming an extraordinary follower of Christ. And all of that can happen because you and I are giving back financially to God. And I know many of you are incredibly faithful and generous. I want to thank you personally for doing that. And if you're not, and you're part of our church, I want to challenge you to start doing your money God's way, because it really, really does matter. So let's pause for a moment. We're going to pray together. Let's ask God to bless our gifts whenever we give those to Him. And most of all, let's open our hearts and our minds to God and ask Him to speak to us out of the Bible this morning. Okay, pray with me. Lord, thank you for enabling us to just witness these men and women being baptized as a symbol of their obedience to you, God, and wanting to follow you. We're so grateful for that. And Lord, whenever we give back financially to you, I do pray, Lord, that you would bless our gifts as we give those, but you would also bless us in being faithful to you in our giving. And now, God, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us. And I know for that to happen, God, that I need your empowering. I need the gift of teaching. And so I ask you to fill and empower me right now so that your words would flow through me. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there's this little first grade boy, and he goes up to his mom, and he says, "Mommy, where do I come from?" Well, the mom's been sort of, you know, a little nervous about this day coming, you know, how she's going to explain sex to her son and all that. So she's thought about it a little bit. So she, you know, takes a deep breath and just sort of dives into this long, detailed explanation about reproductive organs and conception, birth and all that. And after about 15 minutes, she's finally done. And she says, "Now do you understand where you come from?" And the little boy said, "Not really, Mommy. Jimmy said he comes from San Diego." See, the mom was answering the wrong question, wasn't she? And that happens a lot in churches. A lot of times, churches are trying to answer questions that people aren't really asking. We never want to do that here at the Vineyard. We want to answer questions that people want to know the answer to. And so I'm starting a brand new series this weekend called Solutions to Life's Questions. I could have called it Solutions to Life's Difficult Questions, because most of these questions that we're going to look at really are difficult questions that everybody wants to know the answer to. This series, by the way, is going to be out of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to study the entire book of Ecclesiastes. And if you don't know, King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes almost 3,000 years ago. In 935 BC, He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the question that we're going to look at today is, what is the meaning of life? Would you say it out loud? What is the meaning of life? That is a super important question for us to know the answer to. You know why? Because if you don't know the answer to this question, it'll cause all kinds of negative effects in your life. You say, well, like what? What happens when you don't know the meaning of life? Solomon says there are four things that happen in your life if you don't know the meaning of life. The first one, he says, is that life seems meaningless. Life seems meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1, starting in verse 2, everything is meaningless, says the teacher. The teacher, by the way, is Solomon. Everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work? Generations come and go, but nothing really changes. You know what he's saying? He's saying you spend your life working, and what do you have to show for it? You know, if you don't know the meaning of life, why not just sleep in? The world's just going to stay the same. It's just empty, he says. And by the way, that word meaningless there, in the original language, the Old Testament originally was written in Hebrew, that word meaningless is the same word that we would use to translate as something like fluff, or maybe even soap bubbles, or cotton candy. You know, Solomon is saying when you don't know the meaning of life, life is just like fluff. It's like soap bubble. It's like cotton candy. It's meaningless. Second thing that happens when you don't know the meaning of life is life seems tiresome. Verses 7 and 8, the rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows again to the sea. Everything is so weary and tiresome. He's saying we seem to be spinning our wheels, you know, just running in circles. We're like on a treadmill. We're in a rat race. You know, Lily Tomlin years ago, she said, the trouble with a rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. It's pretty true. You know, here Solomon uses the cycle of evaporation to describe this. He says, the rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. It evaporates, then makes rain, which runs into the rivers, which run into the sea. He's saying life is just one big cycle. You know, just about the time you get ready to take down the Christmas lights, it's time to put them back up, right? Except for those of you who never take them down. And you know who you are. And that's another sermon for another day, all right? So what happens when you don't know the meaning of life? Life seems meaningless. Life seems tiresome. Thirdly, life seems unfulfilling. Verse 9, history merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. He's saying there's no satisfaction. No matter how much you see, no matter how much you hear, we're never satisfied. We're never content. You know, people are so restless. If you don't realize how restless people are, just give them a television remote control or an Apple TV remote. You know, Solomon says there's nothing new. Been there, done that, I'm bored. Life seems unfulfilling. And then the fourth thing that happens when you don't know the meaning of life is life seems insignificant. He says in verse 11, we don't remember what happened in those former times. And in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. He's saying that life is obscure. Fame is fleeting. You may be a star today, but nobody's going to remember you tomorrow. I mean, who won the Super Bowl in 1980? Nobody remembers. Who won the NAA National Baseball Championship in 1980? My team did, all right? I did. Grand Canyon University. You should all know that, all right? I'm just joking about you should all know that. But we really did win it, all right? You know, most of you went to a college or a university where most of the buildings had a name on them, probably from somebody who gave a lot of money to build that building. Did that person's name on that building mean anything to you? No. Insignificant. Life seems insignificant when you don't know the meaning. So Solomon comes to the conclusion at the end of chapter 1 that if you don't know the meaning of life, everything is meaningless. So what do you do when you don't know the meaning of life? There are three options. One thing you can do is you can try to make up some kind of meaning. Lots of people do that. You say, well, why do people do that? Because we have been created in such a way that we have to have something at the center of our life. That's how God created us. And if people don't have God at the center of their life, then they'll try to put something else at the center of their life. And whatever that thing is that's at the center of their life, they usually become addicted to it. Whether it's making money, or your career, or some kind of substance, or recreation, or entertainment, or, you know, the internet, or porn, whatever. They try to fill their life with some sort of meaning, but it doesn't work. So one thing you can do when you don't know the meaning of life is try to make up some kind of meaning. Second thing you can do when you don't know the meaning of life is you can try to escape from life. If life has no meaning, then just try to escape it, right? Use Netflix. Use social media. Use alcohol. Use drugs. Use food. I don't know if you read about the 13-year-old girl who died of obesity. She was 680 pounds at 13. Some people use sex to try to escape life, or movies, or novels, or video games, or shopping. And then, of course, the ultimate, quote, escape from life is suicide, right? Did you know that suicide is the 10th largest killer of people in America and the 3rd largest killer of teenagers? Why? Because if we don't know the meaning of life, despair sets in. It's like, what am I doing? Life is pointless. Life is meaningless. I might as well just end it. So what can you do when you don't know the meaning of life? Make something up. Try to escape from life. Or you can discover the real meaning. The real meaning of life. And thankfully, God has told us what the real meaning of life is. So let me give you 4 things that God wants me to do with my life that make up the meaning of life. The first thing I have to do is I have to get to know God. I have to get to know God. Life will never make sense until you establish a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the very first step. You say, well, how do I establish a personal relationship with God? You establish a relationship with God the same way you do with any other person. By talking to Him. By spending time with God. By learning to listen to God. By, you know, trusting God, all that. And the good news is, God wants you to know Him. He does. See, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship, and that's why Jesus came to earth. In fact, the Apostle John said it like this in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, meaning Jesus, God gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. See, the first step in establishing a personal relationship with God is by receiving Jesus into your life as your Lord and your Savior and beginning to follow Him, allowing Him to lead you for the rest of your life. And then, after you've done that, you need to begin to grow in that relationship with Him. And that is a lifelong process. And here at the Vineyard, we want to help you to grow in your relationship with God through Jesus. That's why we do what we do here at the Vineyard. When you come to the Vineyard, we teach you the Bible every week. This is how you grow in your relationship with God. And the truth is, maybe because of COVID, I think that's a big part of it, but because of COVID, because of other things, many of us in our church family have really gotten lax about the importance of church attendance. We just have. And I want you to know, as your pastor, you are not going to grow in your relationship with God. You are not. Unless you are a regular church attender. You know, either online or in person. And I know, there are many of you online where you need to be online. You're high risk, all of that. We want to bless you in doing that. But here's the thing. I think there are some of you, I see some of your Facebook posts. There are some of you that are online, not because you're afraid, it's because you're lazy. You're getting lazy, and you just think it's just easier. I can go to church in my pajamas. All right, here's the deal. It is not, listen carefully, it is not the same watching online as being in person in the room. It's just not. Again, online is way better than nothing, and I'm so glad we have it. And I know many of you need to be online. You do. But there's a portion of you, you don't. You're just doing it because it's convenient, and you're not going to grow at the same rate. And the other thing about being online, it is so easy to blow off being online when that's all you do. It just is. And then you're out of the habit. Some of you in this room and online, you need to make a new commitment today that I'm going to start getting serious again about my church attendance, because I guarantee you, you will not grow in your spiritual development if you're hit and miss in coming to church. You just won't. All right, so that's the first thing that God wants me to do if I want to know the meaning of life. I have to get to know God. Second thing is I have to become like Christ. See, the Bible says once you're in the family of God, God wants you to spend the rest of your life developing sort of family characteristics, where you would begin to look like the family that you're now a part of, the family of Christ. In fact, the Bible teaches over and over and over that life is a school of character development. That's what life is. And God wants to use everything that happens in your life to build character in you for eternity. In other words, God wants to build honesty in you. He wants to build integrity in you. He wants to build generosity inside of you. He wants to build trustworthiness. He wants to build thankfulness and perseverance. He's trying to produce inside each one of us what the Bible calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, this is found in Galatians 5. Verses 22 and 23, God wants to produce in every one of us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit that are family characteristics. And God wants to build that kind of character in our lives. He wants to make us like Jesus. And the Bible says that everything that happens in your life, once you're a follower of Jesus, God will use it to help you become like Jesus. That's basically what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans 8:28. Many of you know this. You know the verse. And we know that God causes all things. Now, here's what happens. A lot of people stop that verse right there. God causes all things. Well, God caused COVID. No. It doesn't say God causes all things. There are a lot of things that happen in life that are not God's will. They're the opposite of God's will. God doesn't cause all things. God causes all things to work together for good. To everybody? No. To those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. See, everything that happens to you in your life is not good. There's a lot of bad things that happen. But if you respond to it in the right way, God can use that bad thing for good in your life. He can use it to help make you like Jesus. And it is so important for us to understand this. You know why? Because when life gets crazy, like it's been over the last 7 months, when life gets painful, like it's been over the last 7 months, you can have a clue about what God is trying to do inside of you. God can use what's going on in your life, even when it's bad. He can use it to make you like Jesus. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time, and people over the years will come up to me and say things like, well, Brian, doesn't God want me to be happy? Yes, he does, but not at the expense of preparing you for eternity. That's what God wants to do. See, part of what life is, a big part, is preparation for eternity, because you were created to live for eternity. And this life here on earth is such a small portion of eternity. In fact, if I could stretch a rope from Los Angeles, California, all the way to Sydney, Australia, it's about 8,000 miles. It's 14 and a half hours in the air. Let's put that up on the video screen. If I could stretch a rope from there, you know how much of your life here on earth, if that rope represented your eternal life, how much of your life here on earth is the very first inch? That's all. Your life here on earth is so short when it's compared to eternity. See, God is far more interested in your character than he is in your convenience or your comfort. You know why? Because the character you build now, you'll enjoy for the rest of eternity. And remember, this is just the first inch of life. All right, the third thing God wants me to do with my life that make up the meaning of life is I have to practice serving. See, we need to practice serving here on earth so we can be ready to serve in heaven and in the new creation. You say, we're going to serve in heaven? Yes, we are. And we'll love it because it will be perfectly suited for us. It will be completely fulfilling. Therefore, God wants us to learn to serve now. He wants us to learn how to be a giver in life and not just a taker. Look at Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. If you're taking notes, underline these next words. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what you were created for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, meaning before you were ever born, so that we should walk in them. See, God has created all of us with certain things in our life that he wants us to do. They're called good works. And when we begin doing those things, it gives our life meaning. See, meaning in life comes from serving. It doesn't come from being served. Meaning comes from giving your life away. That's basically what Jesus is saying in Mark 8. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? He's saying the person who just tries to live for himself, that's the person who's going to be bored. That's the person who's going to be unsatisfied, unfulfilled. Did you know that the highest suicide rate per capita in the world is Beverly Hills, California? Why? Because they have everything. They're bored. Most of them are not giving their life away in any means. But the person who learns how to give his or her life away, that's the one who learns how to enjoy life. And not only that, but when you serve and you give your life away here on earth, you're earning rewards for the rest of eternity. And remember, this is just the first inch. Let me ask you, are you serving anyway? In any way? Are you involved in any kind of good works? Again, because of COVID, I think a lot of us have gotten out of the habit. It's time to step back up. All right, let me give you one more thing that God wants me to do with my life that'll give me meaning. I have to share life's meaning with other people. Paul said it like this, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." Look at this last sentence. "This is the wonderful message God has given us to tell others." Why do you think God leaves you here on this earth after you become a follower of Jesus? I mean, once you begin to become a follower of Jesus, you know where your eternal destiny is. It's going to be in heaven. Why doesn't God just take you there right then? Because he wants you to tell other people about the meaning of life. God wants you to tell other people about how they can experience the meaning of life through Jesus. That's part of the reason that God leaves us here, and that's part of the thing that gives us purpose. There are people in your life, only in your life, that God wants you to tell about Jesus. And he's placed you in your workplace. He's placed you in your family. He's placed you in your neighborhood. He's placed you with your friends because there are people in that sphere that God wants you to tell the good news about Jesus to. And you know what the easiest way to do that is? The easiest way to tell people about this is just simply invite them to church. Again, we've gotten out of the habit of this because of COVID. We've stopped being inviters, and it's time to start that again. And what's the easiest way to invite people to church? Use your six-pack. Use your six-pack. If you're new to the Vineyard is the only church I know of where you can go and get a free six-pack every time you come if you want. A free six-pack on your way in. Yeah, for those of you who are getting excited, free six-pack. Not what you think. A six-pack is just a plastic sleeve with six invitation cards in them, and we want you to carry them everywhere you go because you never know when God is going to give you an opportunity to invite somebody to church. And by your simple invitation, you could be changing somebody's eternity. And when you came in the tunnels, when you go out here, if you're in person, there are six packs out there. If you've lost yours or you never had one, pick one up. Carry it with you wherever you go because you never know when God is going to give you an opportunity. You say, "Brian, how do I use my six-pack?" Okay, you're at work this week. You're in conversation with a coworker. You say somewhere in there, "Hey, I don't know if you and your family ever go to church, but I'd love for you to come to my church sometime." Boom, you give them a card. It's that simple. The weather's getting better. You're outside this week. You're talking to a neighbor across the street. You get in a conversation. Finally, you say, "Hey, I don't know if you and your family ever really go to church or not, but I'd love you to come to my church sometime. My pastor's amazing. You're going to love him." No, you don't have to say that part, all right? But I'd love for you to come. You walk across. You put your mask on. You walk across. Boom, you give him a card. It's that simple. And by your and my simple invitations, we can be changing somebody's eternity. You know, the truth is, there are some of you in our church family, you've been Christians for a long time. And if the truth were known, right now you're feeling pretty bored with your Christian life. And you know why you're probably feeling bored? It's because you've stopped risking for the kingdom of God. Remember, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's spelled R-I-S-K. You're never going to be living on the edge with Jesus until you're risking. What do you mean risking? By going around your life all the time, asking God for divine appointments with other people, where God would speak to you and you'd be able to talk to people about Jesus. You'd be able to invite people to church. You'd be able to pray for healing for somebody. You've stopped risking. That's why you're bored. You want to get out of your boredom? Start risking again. Get up every day. "God, who can I invite to church this week? God, what kind of divine appointment do you want to bring my way this week where I can make a positive impact in someone's life for eternity?" Man, that's the way that God wants us to live. See, I want you to know this. Here at the Vineyard, we're committed to helping you prepare for eternity so that when you get to the final exam, you'll know the right answers. And by the way, there will be a final exam. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever, we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. There will be a final exam. And man, it is such a waste to live your entire life without ever really knowing the meaning of life. Such a waste. But you know what's even a bigger waste? Is to know the meaning of life and not really do anything about it. Where you just give your entire life to temporal things. The things are going to last 1 inch. Where your whole life is about your house, your car, your entertainment, or, you know, whatever. God doesn't want us to live that way. And the Bible teaches that the best use of your life is to invest it in something that will outlast it. Invest your life in the kingdom of God, knowing God, loving God, following God, and invest your life in loving people. Because those are the two things that are going to last forever. People and God and His Word. And the fact is, the Bible says that you will live forever in eternity in one of two places. You'll either live in heaven and the new creation with God for all of eternity, or you'll live in a place called hell apart from God for all of eternity. And I want you to know, God doesn't want anybody, to spend eternity apart from Him. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to earth. That's why God's number one purpose for your life is to get to know God personally through Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, for some of you, today's the day. Would you pray with me? You know, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, not a way, not one of the ways. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? You will never understand life. Life will never truly make sense until you make that first step. And there are some of you here, some of you online, that you haven't done that. And for you, today's the day. But there are others of you, you know, you are a follower of Jesus, but there's some steps that Jesus wants you to take. You know, I believe there's a whole bunch of us where you need to make a new commitment today, a commitment to begin to grow in your relationship with God. And one of the things that makes that happen, a very important thing, is you need to make a new commitment to church. You know, the people that I see growing in their faith, man, they're in church. Every week they're in church, unless they're out of town or sick or whatever, they're in church. Some of you need to make that new commitment right now. And some of you online, you need to make a commitment. Okay, you know, I've enjoyed this. I've been able to go to church in my pajamas, but I don't really need to do this. And you need to make a commitment. Next weekend, I'm going to come back. Or maybe you need to make a commitment about serving. Maybe you've never served before. Maybe you've gotten out of the habit of that. But some of you need to recommit to that. And then I think almost all of us, we need to recommit to begin sharing the meaning of life with other people. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to be an inviter. Start to risk again. Start to ask God for divine appointments. Whatever commitment you need to make to God, just do it right now. But again, there are some of you online, there are some of you here, that you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. And that's where everything starts. Really can't happen without that. That's the first step. So I want to give you an opportunity right now. You say, well, how would I do that? You can surrender your life to Jesus to begin with through a simple prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to pray this prayer of surrender in your heart to God, you don't have to pray it out loud. God can read your thoughts. But you do have to really mean it. has to be the real thing. And you can begin your relationship with Jesus today. And so if you want to pray this prayer online or in person, just bow your head right now. Maybe close your eyes, block out all the distractions, and just say, Jesus, I really do want to surrender my life to you. I want to begin to understand what the meaning of life is all about. I want to follow you from this day forward. And so would you come inside of my life right now, inside of my body, and forgive me for all the wrong things that I've ever done. I want a new start. You know, if you really meant it, and you prayed that prayer, it happened. You may have felt something in your body, you may not have, it doesn't matter. It happened because God's word says that happens when people do that. And now you need to begin to follow Jesus and begin to grow in your relationship with him. Again, that's where the vineyard comes in. Make a commitment. I'm going to be a regular attender now. This isn't just sort of a sidelight deal. If anything else isn't happening in my life, I might come to church. No, make it a priority. But one of the things Jesus says to people when they make these kinds of commitments to him is he says, you need to go public. In order for it to take, you need to go public. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, he says, everyone who confesses me in front of other people says that they've done this, I'll confess them before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me in front of other people, Jesus says, I'll deny them. See, it doesn't really take until you go public. And so if you prayed that prayer a moment ago for the first time, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to do something really brave. I'm going to ask you to come down here to the front and let us all know that you've made this public commitment to follow Jesus. And I want to say a special prayer for you. And I know that's a scary thought, getting up in this room and coming down here to the front. That's a scary thought. You're probably thinking, man, I don't want to do that. What if I'm the only one? You probably won't be. But even if you are, I told you had to really mean it, right? And if you really meant it, then it doesn't matter who else knows. And then the second thing I want you to know is the vast majority of us who don't come down here to the front in a moment, the reason we don't is because we've already done something like this. We're already followers of Jesus, and we love it. We love it when God adds more people to his family. And so we're already for you. And those of you who are online, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to let me know about it. I want you to text the word commit to 77411 right now. Commit to 77411. Somebody from our team will get back with you. But if you're in this room and you're brave enough to let us all know, I prayed that prayer, I want to follow Jesus, then I want you to stand up right now and I want you to walk it down here to the front and I want to say a special prayer for you. Get up wherever you are right now. God bless you. God bless you right down here. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. Running down the aisle. God bless you. If you prayed this prayer, God bless you. I want to follow Jesus. God bless you. I want to surrender my whole life to Jesus. If you prayed that, I want you to come to the front. If this is for you, I want you to come to the front right now. Come on. Come on. Some of you are coming. God bless you. God bless you. Using hand sanitizer on the way. Bless you. And those of you that are online, if you prayed that prayer, 77411, text the word commit. Text the word commit. I am so proud of each of you. And if you're still coming, still come. I want you guys that are up here in the front, I want you to turn around and look at me. I want you guys that are coming, keep coming. God bless you. So glad. So glad. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. But I want you guys to know, I am so proud of each and every one of you. This is such an important decision that you've made. It really is, because it's not only going to change the one inch, it's going to change the whole way to Sydney, Australia, or whatever we're going, you know, in eternity. I don't know. It's going to change the whole thing, the whole 8,000 miles. This is so, so important. We're going to have some of our leaders come up as well. So if some of our leaders socially distance and all that, they're going to get some information from you right after I pray. But if you texted this also, I want to pray for you as well. Okay, so would you guys please pray with me for these men and women and kids that have come up? Lord, we're so grateful for the decisions that these men, women, and children have made, that they're surrendering the life to you, Lord, and that they want to follow you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them right now. Fill them, give them spiritual gifts. God, begin to use them in ways that they've never been used before. God, really impart to them what the meaning of life is, that it's really to follow you and to introduce others to knowing you and knowing your love. I pray right now, every one of them would know how much you love them, God, and how important they are to you. And I pray even starting today, God, that you'd begin to use them in powerful, powerful ways. We're so grateful for them, God. We ask you to bless them in every single way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Now, what's going to happen is we're going to get some of our leaders to get some information from you. And those of you that are online, we're going to get some information from you as well if you texted the word commit to 77411. Now, the rest of us, if you would like someone to pray for you before you go about anything, we would love to do that. You may have to wait a few minutes up here at the altar and be socially distanced and all that, but we would love to pray. If you're online, we'd love to pray for you as well. Just hit the prayer button at any time. We'd love to pray, and it'll put you into a private chat, all right? So before we go, everybody, if you'd please stand, I want to pray a blessing over us. Would you receive this blessing from God? Lord, I pray that every single person here and online, God, that they would feel how much you love them right now. That they matter to you, their joys matter to you, their pain matters to you. Lord, I pray that you would truly, truly bless each and every one of them. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to each one, God, and give them your peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, let some people know that you're glad they're here. Wave to them. Give them an air high five. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.